Hello, my name is Marjorie Wingrove, and I'm your host of Death Happens, broadcast through the facilities of Trent Radio 92.7 CFFF. I've created this show as a way to normalize the conversation around death-related topics. Death is inevitable for every living thing. I believe knowledge and preparation can create some comfort and bring some peace of mind. My guest today is Leslie James. Leslie and I met through the Death Doula Ontario Network and have shared plenty of Zoom meetings. Leslie runs her business as an end-of-life doula at lastwishesconsulting.ca, focusing on advanced care planning and death education. She's recently become the rep for the Bereavement Ontario Network for the Simcoe York Dufferin region. She's also a volunteer with the Evergreen Hospice and the Center for Grief and Healing. Today we're talking about aquamation. We're not scientists, we're not funeral directors, we're end-of-life doulas excited to share with other people the fascinating things we've learned. Leslie has chosen a song by Tara Shannon. Ms. Shannon is an award-winning artist and songwriter who lives in the Ottawa area. Her latest project is in partnership with Advanced Care Planning and support of the Canadian Hospice Palliative Care Association. This is called Say.
I know you love the sound of rain, and that it's milk and never cream. And when you need your space, you go ahead and make it. Favorite shows, that is the Beatles over Stones. But when there's flowers by your bed, you can't say what you never said. So what have you never said? Tell me. Say, say, say,
So Leslie James, thank you for coming to the show today. I'm really glad you're here. We're going to be talking about aquamation, which I have not particularly been familiar with until recently, which is surprising because I understand it's been around for a long time. I just learned that it's been around since the 1880s.
Right.
Let's talk about what aquamation actually is, because if I didn't know what it was, I'm sure there are a lot of people who didn't, even though it's been around for a really long time and it is picking up in popularity.
I'm fairly new to hearing about and discovering about aquamation. So
we're both excited about it.
I'm excited. Yeah, something new. And so the scientific name is alkaline hydrolysis, and it goes by many names. So we're used to kind of two options, burials, cremation. When we hear cremation, that's referred to as flamed cremation. Mm-hmm. This is liquid cremation, also known as resumation, biocremation, aquamation. It's a gentler, greener option. And what I've read is that pet aquamation is very common and very popular. I don't know if you've heard about that.
I have. I actually had one of my darling kitty cats euthanized just a couple of weeks ago. Anyway, what I found out is that they do flame cremation, that particular.
Oh, they do. Okay.
Yeah.
You know, I'm fascinated. You know, my favorite beverage is water. You know, the body is mostly made up of water. This has a component of, I believe it's 95% water, and the other 5% is a combination of potassium and sodium in some form. Mm-hmm. There is a stainless steel vessel.
Mm-hmm. What does that look like?
Kind of cylindrical, I would describe it. I guess like going into an MRI machine or like a submarine, or I guess I need to have a better word to describe this. So it is
float tank.
Yeah, and I've not been in one of those, but it has a door at the side or the end, mm-hmm. to open up, and the operators will respectfully place the body inside the vessel. Mm-hmm. I believe there's a degree of, you know, weighing and body mass index and whether you're male or female for them to determine the exact combination, the ratio of the water to be added. So the door is closed and sealed. The water is filled up with the other ingredients. There is some agitation, gentle agitation, like a washing machine. What I've heard is that there were two types. They're most common, this is new. This is, or I shouldn't say it's new. It's new to Ontario, fairly new. Right. I know I did have the pleasure of interviewing Gina Pilon from Pilon Family Funeral Home in Arnprior, Ontario. That was last summer. And that's when I first heard about it and learned that they may not be the first. I believe there's another one in Peterborough and Kingston. Earlier this week, I had a chance to speak with Trevor Charbonneau, and he's the funeral director of Newcastle Funeral Home. Previously, I think the facilities in Ontario, that they're using the high temperature alkaline hydrolysis, which heats up to about 305 degrees Fahrenheit, which is over boiling point, but there's not a rolling boil because it's pressurized. This process takes about 3 hours. Now, there was a bit of controversy, if I'll use that word, because at the Newcastle Funeral Home, they introduced a low temperature vessel. This heats up to 204 degrees Fahrenheit. It's not pressured. The processing time is about 14 hours.
Wow. Is the body wrapped in anything when it's put in the vessel? Or
Marjorie, that's a good question. And I was wondering the same. Because it is a greener option, most of the time, the body, there's no clothes.
Right.
You know what? I came into this world naked, and you know, it's a very natural thing to leave this world that way as well. If there's clothing involved, it has to be all natural, like wool or leather or silk. Basically, the body dissolves. It's all the tissues, will dissolve, and what you're left with are the bone fragments, just like in flame cremation. Any implants, or if the person had a pacemaker or any teeth filling, you know, gold, any metals will not dissolve, obviously. They will be removed. And there is talk about using some of the, you know, they can sterilize. There's some of those very expensive implants that could be considered to be reused, but that's for another story.
Wouldn't that be great?
Absolutely. I mean, our healthcare costs are so high. If a person had a pacemaker and wanted to be flame cremation, I believe it would have to be removed prior.
Yeah.
So there were some differences to the bone fragments. What I've learned is, compared to a flame cremation, the bones, in both cases, the bone fragments need to be ground up. And this is something I learned too. I just thought when they talked about, give me the family, the cremains or the ashes, that once you do the cremation, it automatically just gets all ground up. No, there's a secondary process. And so what I've learned is, with the aquamation or the water cremation, the bone fragments are taken out and they need to air dry for a period of time. Once they're dried, then they are ground. The interesting thing is that the color of the cremains is a much whiter, more pure white color than the flamed cremation. And there's actually more of it. Sometimes people need a larger urn for the same size body. So just that's something to keep in mind. But I find it just fascinating.
So what happens to the water in the vessel?
My understanding is that the effluent with an E goes into the waste management system, and it's actually very sterile. It's not dangerous. It is very high in nutrients, the effluent, and some families, people want it for plants and trees. It's a great land fertilizer. So, but right now the effluent goes into our waste management system. Right now, families are not allowed to, if they want it back for their own land use, fertilizing, it's not allowed in Ontario, but who knows, there may be, you know, a day when that is approved. It's completely safe. It's been through all the science, has tested. It's completely safe. And it's probably one of the safest and greenest options. You know, it's definitely greener and less of a carbon footprint than flamed cremation.
Right. That's something I was certainly going to ask about. So This is probably something that people can't get their heads around, is this effluent that goes into the water system. You know, it's like, is this part of our loved one that is going down the drain?
The body's dissolved. I think if people just learn a bit, there's so many, you know, videos that I've been just watching. And the more I know, the more I educate myself, the more I learn that this is just another option. Like, I like tea. I like black tea. I know there's herbal tea and, you know, water. And I don't know how you like your hot beverage. Do you drink coffee or tea?
Right. I prefer a decaf latte. So it does give us another choice, another option of the many that are out there. And actually, what I was just thinking about was, as far as our loved one going down the drain, it's with embalming, a body drained of blood, and all that goes down the drain.
Yes, and exactly. Until you really think about it, walk through the process, or the process of embalming is discussed with you, you know, where does all that bodily fluids go? It goes into our waste system.
Yeah, and it hasn't been processed.
Exactly.
The way the aquamation processes the...
That's right. That's right. The effluent is very sterile. And whether it's low temperature or high temperature, I'm not sure if I touched on this, but the end result is the same. There's no DNA. It's sterile. It's DNA free. And it's just a greener, gentler option.
It's fascinating. This has been around so long and I haven't known about it.
And the only reason I heard about it was because I became an end of life doula in June of 2020, and started just Googling and researching and learning, which I love. And what I love is also, as you do, is the death education component, sharing that knowledge. I believe it empowers families to make choices, make informed choices about body disposition. You know, I've told my family members about this, and it's not for everyone. It's not for everyone, but it's an option.
Right. Well, and you and I both are passionate about death education and death literacy, just so that people aren't freaked out about their choices and that they can think well ahead of time how they want to have their body disposed of. As I'm learning about the aquamation, I mean, previously my choice has been very I've been very set in this as having a green burial. There's a beautiful cemetery in Coburg. Oh, it's lovely. They've got a beautiful meadow, you know, this big open meadow that is not populated yet. I just have this beautiful image of being wrapped in a cotton shroud and being lowered in and having indigenous flowers grow around me.
And
I know. And now I hear about the aquamation. I'm like, well, this is a viable option for me as well, depending on where I'm located when I die. I think the funeral home just over the bridge has a tank.
So. Oh, okay. There you go. I love that you brought up the education piece and just thinking about the options and planning, because, you know, I'm not going anywhere, knock wood, anytime soon. But I want to know what my options are. I'm doing my advanced care planning. I'm, you know, talking to my adult children. I have a phone call with my medical doctor this week. I'm just getting, you know, just doing the initial discussions. It's important to choose a substitute decision maker. This is part of pre-planning. And I'm a planner. I always have been. I think the outcome of whatever we do, for the most part, the more you know, the more educated you are. And when you can make those decisions when you're calm, rather than in a stressful, grieved situation, the more thought out and the better outcome, the better experience it is for everyone involved.
Yes. I think that I started on this road when my mother was making her plans. We sat at the funeral home. She was talking about what she wanted to have done. I found that a very unique experience.
Yes.
Within a month, I had started putting money aside for my plans.
Good for you.
I know. So I have a little stash at a funeral home right now. But I don't have a plan around it yet.
But these discussions, and you're comfortable talking about it. And we're learning. I've attended a green burial cafe. I love learning about the different options with green burial. You know, there's no right or wrong. We are all individuals. If my family member wants a casket and they want to be buried, that's fine. That's their, you know, I'm not here to persuade anybody either way. It's just knowing. Oh, did you know? Right? Mm-hmm. I love having options and love knowing the details.
Yeah. And I think the difference between being put in the ground and or having a bucket of an urn. Sorry, a bucket.
Yeah, a bucket. What's the word again?
We're very casual talking about death. You know, what are my kids or my family going to do with ashes?
I love that you have a vision and then something else gets introduced into your mind. You can think about it, learn about it. Is it for you? And make that decision. And you might go back to the green burial and the shroud and the lovely indigenous wildflowers. And, you know, I just love it. So whatever, I'm there. I'll support you. I was actually surprised about the cost, you know, and this is coming from Newcastle Funeral Home. It's $625 for that. Now that will vary depending on if you have a service. Consumers are driving this. They had one machine and they purchased a second to ramp up based on capacity. So their customers are loving it. From what I gather, where Newcastle Funeral Home is located in a residential area, they wouldn't be able to have a flamed cremation or retort. This gives an option to their clients. And I think it's very, very promising and growing organically, if you will.
Mm-hmm. In Canada, it's something we can do in Ontario. We're talking about other provinces where it's...
Yeah, so Margie, what I found out is that not only is this available in Ontario, I believe at least four places that I'm aware of, legal in Quebec and Saskatchewan. And I have heard that breaking in Newfoundland, it might already be. I didn't have time before this talk to investigate. But I think it's just a matter of time. I know BC is working. There's a lot of people who have signed a petition that want to get the legislation changed so that they can have alkaline hydrolysis in British Columbia. A lot of people wanting aquamation out west.
Yeah, BC is one of the greenest minded places for burial. What would make it not legal?
The problem is that initially, or back in the day when facilities were designated as a cremation facility, my understanding is that in some provinces, it was specified flamed cremation. What's happening, they have to work to get that the wording changed. It's just a matter of getting the wording. Well, I shouldn't say just a matter, but I'm sure there's more to it. But in Ontario or other places where ahead of the game, I guess the land was the facilities that were used just the word cremation. They didn't have the specifying that it had to be flamed cremation. So they were able to make it available sooner.
Interesting. So as far as flame cremation goes, what is the environmental footprint with that? I guess compared to aquamation.
Compared to aquamation is about 1/10 of what cremation is. There are no emissions with aquamation. So it's 100% less emission and it's 90% energy conserved. So 1/10 the carbon footprint of flamed cremation. That's pretty substantial.
It really is. Yeah. It sounds so clean. Did you say how many funeral homes in Ontario now have?
My knowledge, there are 4 locations, and I'm not listing these in order of, it's not a matter of who was first, Arnprior, Kingston, Newcastle, and Peterborough. There could be more. Those are the 4 that I'm aware of. I think it's just a matter of time until there are more locations that are offering alkaline hydrolysis as a service.
Interesting. Thank you so much for coming.
Marjorie, pleasure to be here. Thank you for having me on your show.
What a treat. And I think I'm probably going to have you on again to talk about one of the other many things that we discuss as doulas.
It would be my pleasure.
Great, mine too.
That was Leslie James. Again, Leslie's website is lastwishesconsulting.ca. Every death doula presents a unique approach to end-of-life planning. For example, my interests are in education, literacy, awareness, legacy projects, and bereavement. I occasionally host a death cafe here in Peterborough, which is a casual atmosphere wherein a group of people can discuss anything to do with death. For more information about what a death doula can do, visit the website deathdoulaontarionetwork.ca, where there is a list of our members and links to death-related resources. Again, that's deathdoulaontarionetwork.ca. Maybe some of you listening knew my mother, Judy Goddard. She died in March of 2005, just weeks after her 79th birthday. I grew up in Peterborough, but moved to Toronto 40 years ago. Since I moved back here a year and a half ago, I feel like my mother is very close by. The office where she worked is across the bridge. The hospital where she died is around the corner. When I walk the trails, she walks with me. This song is for her. She thought she might have played it at her funeral, but she didn't want to make people cry. Oh, we were crying anyway. This is Josh Groban with You Raise Me Up.
Troubles come. and my heart burdened be, then I am still and wait here in the silence until you come and sit a while with me. You raise me up so I can stand on mountains. You raise me up to walk on stormy seas. I am strong when I am on your shoulders. You raise me up to more than I can be.
Mom also really liked Harry Belafonte, so here is Skin to Skin. Happy birthday, Mom.
She does not lazy dance, her hands on me. She does not talk, no pretty talk, she pleasures silently. But with her I am summer, I warm easy to her heat. She fill me full, she fill me full, she make me complete. Skin to skin, skin to skin, no cold wind blow on me, no cold wind blow on me.
Skin to skin, skin to skin.
is a secret soldier with pieces inside broke. He hides in his own darkness, his fire has known.